Greetings, golf fans. Sports Guy Ty here. It's Major Championship Week once again, and we're breaking down Southern Hills Country Club for the 104th playing of the PGA Championship. Lots to discuss, from Phil Mickelson's withdrawal to Tiger Woods' entry, and also a couple new additions to my personal golf card collection this week. Shallow Cal is filling out a card once again and going big at the top. T-Mac and I have already forgiven Willie Z for the missed cut at the Byron Nelson, and I am over-indexed on a particular Southern golfer through multiple anti-post selections from the fall. As always, tips, picks, and best bets for the PGA Championship. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. Enjoy! Welcome, golf fans, to the Right Click Print Money Podcast. This is the PGA Tour Tips and Pick Show, making paper for the masses. Episode 56, the PGA Championship at Southern Hills, and one more week on the beautiful grind. I am your host, Sports Guy Ty, joined this week, as well as every week, by two of the very best in the business, Shallow Cal and T-Mac. Gentlemen, good evening to you both, and welcome to another major. T-Mac, we'll start with you. What's fueling the creative juices tonight, your podcast sauce for the PGA?
So my podcast sauce is a mixture of water and something called the Legends of Nigeria.
That sounds like something I need to try. What the hell are the Legends of Nigeria?
It is almost 30% THC, beautiful nuggets. It looks like an indica. It smells just fucking ridiculous.
I thought you meant that Legends of Nigeria was something you were putting in your water to flavor it.
Nope, it's something I put in my pipe.
Perfect. All right. And on that note, Shallow Cal, how about you for your podcast sauce?
So I took $18 to the local grocery store and got as many Michelob Ultras as I could. And I am going to drink all of them on the podcast tonight, and my fiance is going to be pissed when this podcast is over with. So 15 pack of Michelob Ultra and a 22 ouncer single, just for good measure, to spend the rest of that $18. So bottoms up.
It's well done. I think it was PGA memes where I saw the meme about, you know, a guy and his girl sitting at the table and she's saying, take me to an expensive dinner. And they're literally sitting in front of that concession stand sign at Southern Hills with the $18 Michelobes and the $16 salads.
Yeah. So let's go balls to the wall for that $18 with the Mick Ultras tonight, baby.
Well, I'm not even sure how many Labatt Blue Light I could get for $18. To be perfectly honest, I could probably get a 36 rack from Costco for $18.
Yeah, no joke.
So that's what I'm back on. Why steer away from a good thing? South Detroit's favorite beer, Labatt Blue Light from Canada. All right, no winner fried perch dinner last week at the Byron Nelson. Any places for you, T-Mac?
Yeah, I had one place on JT, so he netted me a 0.4 unit return. So it was negative 19.6 units on the week.
And Callow, any remorse for not submitting a card last week?
There was a lot of remorse. However, Spieth somehow forgot to make a putt inside 10 feet on the back nine on Sunday. And Joaquin Niemann just forgot how to play golf on Sunday. So, not too bad. I was feeling it there for the first three rounds, though. I was really, really pissed off and sweating that one out.
Hey, normal guys were all over it.
Yeah, definitely.
No official returns for me last week. I did grab a late personal bet on Ryan Palmer, 125-1 with an each way on Tuesday night. Not part of my official tips or my statistic tracking for the year, but that shared place did at least ease the burden a little bit on my wallet last week. But lots to talk about tonight with another major championship upon us, so we are going to pivot. Before we get into our typical course breakdown and picks, let's start with the obvious storyline coming out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our defending champion from 2021 at Kiawah Island has withdrawn from the field. Is Phil suspended, T-Mac?
I don't know if he's suspended or what's happening, but I mean, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, the reigning champion not coming to defend his title. Phil Mickelson with 45 wins on tour, 4 PGA Tour championship victories. It just doesn't quite feel right without him there. Coincidentally, he will be the 3rd PGA champion to not defend his title in the last 75 years. And it just, again, it just doesn't quite feel right. He's been on the bad side of a lot of press in the last couple of years, and usually people are okay with it, but I don't know. Phil might be getting on the bad side of some people here.
There's no injury that we know of. Right. We haven't seen Phil in 3 months after his notorious comments to Alan Shipnuck of the Fire Pit Collective about the LIV Golf League and the Saudi regime in general. Typically, well, first of all, the PGA Tour makes it a practice of not announcing suspension. So whether he is suspended or not, we don't know, and we're likely never going to know. But of all the great reporting out there in the history of supposed suspensions on the PGA Tour, they tend to range in about that 3-month window if it's particularly egregious. So not crazy to think that either his suspension was about to end prior to the PGA and he made the decision on his own not to show up with all the hubbaloo, the circus, the publicity, et cetera, or potentially that he's still suspended. Whether or not he is, Shallow Cal, should he be suspended?
I don't know if he should necessarily be suspended. I think this was kind of like a mutual fuck you from both sides, honestly, and a nasty breakup almost. I don't know if we'll see Phil ever again on the PGA Tour, honestly. I think the powers that be on the PGA Tour are fine with that. With the young contingent coming through, golf is in a very good spot. They don't need Phil Mickelson. And I think that's kind of why they drew that line in the sand with them saying, no, we're not letting anybody go play. We're not giving you releases. So you're going to make a choice, us or them. And you're going to have to make that choice now. And I think they kind of stood on their side of that line in the sand with Phil, and Phil chose the other side. And I think it was kind of a mutual thing. Phil made his choice. The PGA Tour made their choice on what they were going to, you know, deal with. And that's that.
It's crazy to think we've gotten to this point with Phil, who by all accounts is one of the most popular and prolific golfers in the sport's history. I mean, you think back to as recently as last November. First of all, we were still talking about Phil as not only the possible, but the probable Ryder Cup captain for when it returns to upstate New York. And I guess we're 3 years away now.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody paid a lot of money for Phil Mickelson to sit next to Charles Barkley and commentate on the match between Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. And for good reason. Phil is entertaining. Phil is knowledgeable. Phil is great with a microphone in his hands. I mean, he had just about everything at his fingertips in last November. That's coming off the win at the PGA Championship as well. And to think he's fallen this far, and here we are, you know, having to even have the conversation, is he suspended as a defending champion of the PGA, is pretty wild. Either one of you going to read Alan Shipnuck's unauthorized biography?
Honestly, I'm not aware of it.
That's the Phil book.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to read it. I hadn't planned on it, I suppose.
I'll definitely read that. I've got so many questions, from swinger parties to insider trading to just, you know, everything. I want to know, man.
It's going to be a fascinating read. I actually heard it's sold out most places until June. You can get it at a few small boutique bookstores by calling, but been a pretty popular ticket, as you'd imagine, particularly this time of the golfing calendar leading into the PGA.
Yeah.
Second major storyline. We're going to see Tiger for a second consecutive major. Only the third time we've seen him in a competitive round of golf since the accident. And he's coming off playing the weekend at Augusta. Shallow Cal, does your boy Tiger contend this week?
No, I don't think so. I think he's got a shot to make the cut. Mm-hmm. It's going to be – is this going to be Tiger circa 2007 mindset-wise? Is he going to take this course apart with long irons, fairway metals off the tee, not necessarily hitting driver all the time? Is he going to be is he going to be good enough with these clubs to do what he did in 2007? Probably not. So I don't think he contends, but he's definitely got a shot to make the cut.
T-Mac, are we going to get any fireworks from Tiger for the first couple days?
I agree with Shallow that we're going to see a strong first and second outing here from Tiger. And then I just think we're going to see him limping off to the clubhouse in the last couple days there. I mean, everyone knows he's going to push himself, but I mean, that's probably why Tiger is where he's at today. Well, besides the car wreck, but I think he is known to overexert his body at times.
Yeah. I'm going to take a similar approach to what I said prior to the Masters. Just the fact that he's out here competing in a second major after the car wreck is remarkable. And I think we need to appreciate the feat in front of him just to be playing golf and just to be playing golf at a level where he feels he can be competitive in a major championship at a course like Southern Hills. Everything else, bonus this week. If we get to see Tiger for 4 days instead of two, bonus. If we get, you know, a few moments where the crowds roar and we see that vintage iron play or, you know, drains a long putt and a fist pump, bonus. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm happy he's out there again. I'm glad we get another chance to see him. I'm keeping my expectations in check and really just appreciating the monumental task that's in front of him just playing.
And unfortunately, golf is probably losing a little bit by not having Tiger and Mickelson out there.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. It's crazy that we've had two major championship wins from Tiger. It's hard to believe that he's won 13 of his 15 majors all the way back. I'm sorry. Let me back up and get this stat right. Tiger won his 13th of 15 majors here at Southern Hills. It is hard to believe that that happened all the way back in 2007. Two major championship wins from Tiger since 2007. One of them was the 2019 win at Augusta. It's just crazy to think that you know, 15 years ago was really kind of the end of the dominance that we saw of Tiger. Not to say that he hasn't been dominant at times since. He's obviously won golf tournaments. He's won a couple majors, but hard to believe that his 13th of 15 majors came 15 years ago in that heat and humidity in 2007 at Southern Hills.
I loved one of these videos I saw on Instagram this week. Obviously, some great stuff going around, but it was I forget who it was. You'd probably know who it is, but they're talking about these young guys going, oh, I wish I could be playing Tiger on Sunday at his prime, heading into the majors. Like, oh, I wish I was doing that. And he just looks cold at the camera. He goes, the fuck you do? You have no idea what you were getting into.
Nobody should wish for that.
Yeah.
All right. Just kind of lastly here, we won't delve into this topic, but I figure quickly both of you would get a kick out of it. So I have added this week to my growing collection of golf cards, and I got a couple pretty sweet finds. I've gotten on a big kick of chasing Upper Deck's Young Guns rookies, if you all are familiar with that at all in the card collecting game.
I know Upper Deck, but the Young Guns. Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So it's really a very famous hockey rookie card line for Young Guns, debuted in 1990. Actually, Fedorov was one of the first two. But they're very coveted in hockey. It's a fun card to chase. And in the 2001 Upper Deck golf set with the Tiger Chase, they actually released a series of Young Guns. And there was a bunch of them because it was Upper Deck's first golf release in many years. So they had a bunch of rookies to catch up on. So I've got two of them now in my possession. And there's a handful of good names from that set. Both of them autographed in person. So I've got a signed Upper Deck Young Guns rookie card, 2001, from KJ Choi, the greatest golfer of all time. And Rory Sabatini, your defending Olympic silver medalist now of, the Czech Republic, I believe.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, man, I was pumped. They're very just, you know, eccentric cards. Only collectors would chase something like that, but kind of fun. I'm excited to add both of them to the golf collection. All right, quick statistics for the podcast. 27 outright winners since we started doing this at the beginning of 2021. 9 first-round leader winners, 8 triple-digit places. Already this year, we got 150-1 winner, and we've got 2, 3, 4, 5 winners of 33-1 or longer. Just for good measure, throw in the 18-1 and 16-1 winners on the PGA Tour, and it's been a hell of a run. Shallow Cal, please do us the honor of reminding folks where they can find those picks and what we need from the masses.
Yeah, you can find us all individually on Twitter at Trevor McElwain, at Sports Guy Ty, and yours truly at Shallow Cal Golf. The Right Click Print Money podcast is also on Twitter at Right Click Picks. And that's where you can find all of our cards, bets, spreadsheet that contains our P&L and betting history. You can find the podcast on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please download the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, a note, little note will get you read on the podcast the next week.
Yeah, let's get those reviews churning in again. We had a couple week stretch there back in the fall where we were getting them pretty consistently and reading them on air. Let's see if we can get that going again. Drop us a review on one of the spots. Let us know who you are, where you're listening from, what your podcast sauce is when you listen to the show, and we'll get it.
What's a podcast sauce we should try?
Yeah, throw those out. Let's have it. All right, by way of show agenda, we will do a full course breakdown of Southern Hills with stats to consider and any weather of note. From there, we'll jump right into picks, give you our outright selections up to, but not including the triple digits, because those are reserved for T-Max lottery tickets. All right, so let's jump in with a little course preview. Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the 104th PGA Championship. Either of you ever been to Tulsa?
No, never been to Oklahoma at all.
Never.
Me either. Don't know that I've ever been to Oklahoma either. I have spent a lot of time in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is just across the state line, about a stone's throw from Tulsa, but never made it over that way. Certainly a lot of golf history in that part of the world. Certainly plenty of golf history here at Southern Hills. The club, which opened in 1935, is an original Perry Maxwell design, the father of Oklahoma golf, and it has hosted 16 championships in its history, 4 times PGA Championship, U.S. Open 3 times, Tour Championship, U.S. Amateur, U.S. Women's Amateur 2 times each, and then once each for the U.S. Senior Amateur, Senior PGA Championship, and U.S. Women's Mid-Amateur. So a lot of good, very important golf being played on this track. Southern Hills, neat little story, was constructed during the Great Depression. A group of local citizens in Tulsa raised $140,000 for a new country club. Local oil baron Waite Phillips donated a tract of land south of downtown. Maxwell is the one that brought it to life for just under $100,000. Truly the perfect designer for the time. He was known for creating golf courses as cost effective as possible. So perfect for the Depression. And then using contours of the land. One of the ways that he did it so cost effective is he didn't move a whole lot of dirt. He used what was naturally there, the shapes, the slopes, the holes. He really let it guide the property on his golf courses. So what we wound up with was not only a gem at Southern Hills, but he's got his fingerprints all over major golf courses across the country. Most famously, probably beyond Southern Hills, is Augusta National. Shallow Cal, you want to hit us with some course vitals?
Do you know where locally in the southeast Michigan area that Perry Maxwell's fingerprints are all over the green construction of the golf course?
University of Michigan golf course.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if either one of you were going to be hip to that stat. But
you know where else in the Big Ten he's got his fingerprints on?
I actually don't.
The Ohio State University course.
Oh, yep. And man, I hate those guys. But University of Michigan, great. So yeah, those. I mean, the University of Michigan golf course greens. Have you ever played there, T-Mac or Ty?
Yes.
It's been a long time for me.
About the first time I played there.
Please bless us with that.
Well, quickly, it was a guy that worked at Weber's that allowed us tee time. He was a 75, 78-year-old man, and he said he couldn't play anymore, but he would get great enjoyment out of just me and this other guy playing, so he invited us as his guest. We get there, and he doesn't show up. And so we're, you know, trying to talk our way onto the course, and the guy's like, "Ah, we're not very busy today, but you have to be affiliated." And he goes, "Do you have any affiliation?" And I said, "Well, my sister-in-law went to grad school here." And he goes, "Well, call your sister-in-law and thank her because she's getting you on the course today." So we got out and played.
That's awesome. And did you call and thank her?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely did. Thank you, Kara.
Good, good.
Excellent. Yeah, the greens there are incredibly difficult. It's a great course in and of itself. So this week, Southern Hills, I've seen numbers anywhere from like 73, 65, all the way up to 75, 56 for yardage wise. It's kind of in between those from all the PGA Tour to the official website, to the Southern Hills site, to other things. So they're kind of a little bit all over the place. One thing we know for sure, it is playing par 70 today, 35 out, 35 in. We've got smaller bent grass greens averaging just over 5,000 square feet. These are going to play a lot smaller than that for reasons that we'll get into in a second here. Fairways, Bermuda. As well as the rough with some long fescue in there as well. Like you said, Perry Maxwell design, Gil Hance has his hands all over this with a, I don't want to say a renovation, yeah, a reconstruction a little bit. But he did a lot of work here. And his fingerprint is also all over this course. I would say most notably going back to the greens, they're going to play a lot smaller than the 5,000 feet here. They've got reconstructed by Hance to kind of go back to the original design where you're looking at almost sharp edges on these greens where you put too much spin or you're a little bit short and you're falling and you're rolling off the greens. You're rolling off into bunkers. You're not going to have an easy time holding the edges of these greens because the way that they cut this grass super short, we're going to see a lot of trouble around these greens.
Yeah, it was a lot of work that went into that renovation in 2018 from Gil Hance. Took 10 months, cost $11 million. Remember, it cost $100,000 in 1935 to build this course. But as you alluded to, Shadow Cal, it much more closely resembles Maxwell's original design, which we kind of got away from into the 40s, 50s, and 60s. From the bunkers in a more natural state to the greens, yep, the whole layouts, and then the real...
Those bunkers are going to play a huge role around these greens. You leave yourself with a short-sided bunker shot, and with the way that these greens undulate severely, you know, the way that he used, like you said, the natural topography of this land, you're going to be screwed because your ball is just going to run away, and you're not going to be able to stop that coming out of some of these bunkers. You know, it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, I mean, you rarely get a flat lie here. Again, because of the way that Maxwell designed it originally, using those contours of the earth, you got balls that just spit off to the left and the right in the fairway. A lot of balls below your feet, above your feet. A whole lot to be thinking about on that approach shot. You know, really placing a premium on the angle and trajectory.
These fairways are wide. They're wide fairways. They're not. You know, you're not shooting, you're not hitting drives down a hallway here. But like you said, they're harder to hit because not only that, even if you're in the fairway, you might have a terrible lie because you're, you know, the ball's half a foot above your feet somewhere.
Yeah.
And the Bermuda rough too, you know, is tough for these guys. You're going to have balls flying. It's a little bit more unpredictable than a lot of the rough that we see. And it's cut a little bit shorter. It's not going to be that gnarly rough that you usually associate with some of these PGA championship courses. It's cut about 2.5 inches, so you're not going to see the ball disappearing. But sometimes if it's just rolling up there and it nestles in and it's thick, even if it's short, you're not going to be able to get that club on it.
Are we going to see lower scores this week than we anticipated, maybe coming into the research and into the thoughts and into the talk about Southern Hills? I'm just asking.
I think weather's going to play a factor. So no, I don't think we're going to see scores like last week.
Definitely not like last week.
I think the thing that's going to prevent us from seeing closer to 20 under par, 15, 20 under par, I think it's going to be the lack of par five scoring. You've got two beastly par fives here. They really are true three-shot par fives. They're well over 600 yards. You're not going to have those you know, two, three, maybe even four eagle opportunity and tap in birdies per round, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Only reason I'm asking is because we haven't seen it in a PGA major championship since the renovation. We did get a little tease of the 2021 senior PGA, but obviously a different game, different players, yada, yada, yada. A lot of unknown. As you mentioned, the rough not overly penal this week. Fairways are wider, but those greens are something to contend with and certainly the runoff. I'm just wondering. I saw a quote from Rory McIlroy today, and I'm just going to paraphrase. I'm not going to get it right, but it was basically the effect of it's gettable. And that's easy to say on a Monday when you know, you're not playing under the bright lights and the crowds aren't out there. But I'm just wondering if maybe we see something like a 9, 10, 11 under take this down.
I would honestly, I'm going to expect it to be in that 10 under range, you know, a few strokes on either side, give or take. But if I had to choose, if you said over or under 10 strokes for the winner, I'm going to go under 10. I think it'd probably be more likely to be 11 under than 9 under.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. One way or another, I'll tell you this. Hole 18 is going to play a role in deciding the winner on Sunday.
Can I just tell you this? This is one of the most beautiful golf courses I've seen, I think, ever, maybe. I mean, it is going to play so well on TV. Just from the piece that the Fried Egg did, like, dude, this is a beautiful golf course, and I am so jacked and pumped to see it on TV.
Yeah, I'm excited too, and we're gonna get some drama coming down the stretch. In 7 men's majors at Southern Hills, only 2 winners have managed to par the closing hole on Sunday, and Tiger Woods was one of them. Listen to this, and I had forgotten about this. It's so long ago now, and I was only, you know, probably a casual observer at this point. But in
Scotty Scheffler 5-putt victory.
you're gonna like this stat then. In the final round of the 2001 U.S. Open, a simple two-putt, a two-putt on 18 would have been good enough to win the championship in regulation for either Retief Goosen, Stuart Sink, or Mark Brooks. Three players had a chance to two-putt 18 for a par and win a PGA championship. None of them could do it. They all three-putted and wound up in the playoff. It's just something. All right, what else you got for us on the course, Shallow Cal? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be a true test of take it one shot of a at a time. Calm yourself down. Sorry, I'm like 7.5 Michelob Ultras deep. So if I start slurring my words here, I really apologize. That's why I love a player, even though I haven't bet him yet, I probably will by the start of the tournament or live bet him if he starts to play well. I love a player like Jordan Spieth because that dude can fuck a shot up so bad and then he can just make the best out of the next shot. You know,
doesn't he get the Grand Slam if he wins this?
He does. He sure does. It would be so awesome to see that for him. Obviously, and I actually saw a funny golf Twitter question. It was like, would you let Jordan Spieth make out with your wife, girlfriend, significant other? So I thought that was pretty funny. And and the responses were great.
Would you?
Well, if I got to make out with Annie, hell yeah, I would. But yeah, this I'm very interested to see because you can biff a shot here real easily, and especially around these greens, especially with these bunkers, these shaved runoffs, and that when that ball goes rolling 30, 40, 50 yards back to you or over or to the side, how are you going to respond to that?
Or up or down?
That's one of the reasons why I didn't bet Victor Hovland this weekend, honestly.
Same.
As great of a ball striker as he is, his around the green game just doesn't fit this course. And he compounds mistakes more than anybody on tour, it seems like. So I'm really looking for guys like Jordan Spieth, who can just erase that memory of a bad shot, get
this
up there.
This is a long course overview, Gallo.
Yeah, I know. It's an awesome course. I told Ty that I had written like paragraphs and paragraphs on this course. So, I mean, it's really cool. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm pumped too. It's Southern Hills is one of the greats in the game, and it's going to be great to get back there. All right, T-Mac, you want to take us down a different path? You want to throw some stats to consider at us?
Yeah, for me, stats to consider this week. I think strokes gained on the approach is going to be very important. It's definitely a second shot golf course with the small greens and play even smaller just with all of these false fronts and, the pin locations that they're going to be putting out there. So then I'm going to go strokes gained around the green. Again, it's going to be people that need to be able to get up and down from tight spots that are going to be towards the top of the leaderboard there. And then I'm going with kind of a different one, strokes gained in windy conditions. I think it's going to be a battle of some elements out there in Tulsa this week. So I want those guys that can score in bad conditions.
I'm very aligned with you, and I have a feeling that we're probably all going to be pretty similar in our selections for stats to consider this week. Pretty straightforward way to attack Southern Hills, at least we think, right, after the renovations. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but a pretty straightforward approach should lead you down the path of focusing most heavily on strokes gained approach. That's where I'm landed as well. You both touched on it, but with those areas around the green being mowed down as part of the renovations, even with the wider fairways in the mowed rough, you got to be accurate on your irons to attack very difficult greens with a lot of undulation, multiple false fronts. If it plays firm and fast, it's going to be really hard, even with the wide fairways and the cut rough. Shadow Cow, you alluded to this in the course breakdown, but the renovations changed the greens. The renovations prior to 2007 and the PGA Championship changed the greens to funnel approaches that landed on the edges to the center of the green. Not the case when Gil Hands got his hands on it. Errant shots are going to fall off now. You're gonna be scrambling if you're not hitting greens. And that leads me right into your second one, T-Mac. I'm with you as well and around the green. You're going to be dealing with those runoffs. You got to be neat and tidy with the short game, up and down from the collection areas. Wedges, Texas wedges are going to be important to avoid big numbers. And then lastly for me, strokes gained off the tee. Length helps, but it's not a prerequisite this week, I don't believe. This is a very strategic golf course that in many ways is, as you said, T-Mac, a second shot golf course, both distance and accuracy for proper angles. Make no mistake, being long off the tee won't hurt you here. But Gil Hance did want to challenge that. He wanted to adapt to the modern game, and he did. This can play upwards of 7,600 yards on a par 70, depending on the tee placement, which is just kind of wild to think about. But to counter some of that length, he moved the bunkers, other fairway hazards, changed the landing zones, making it much more strategic, thinking about your second shot when you're hitting the first shot. And in contrast, in 2007, Tiger won by being patient, using iron almost off of almost every single tee. He had the pinched fairways, the very thick and penal rough, the fairway bunkers. Not going to be the case in 2022. We're going to see this golf course attacked in a very different way. What about you, Shallow Cal? Stats to consider?
I like strokes gained ball striking on this one. Once again, it's Mito week, and I'm going to miss out because I'm not betting Mito. But
Not this week.
Ball striking. Tee to green game. Your approach is going to be crucial here. I'm not necessarily looking at proximity, but definitely like your approach. I like to look at your approach from 150 yards in. That's going to be crucial on a lot of these par fives, as well as a majority of your par fours here. So looking at that, as well as your scrambling, this is going to be a scrambling, and then a little bit of strokes gain putting bent grass as well.
Yep. Bent grass greens. I like it.
Yep.
Let's talk a little weather and any considerations for the week. T-Mac, in this part of the world, we are always dependent on what the wind is going to do. Any of those ugly Oklahoma winds going to rear their heads?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird 4-day stretch. So Thursday, it's going to be in the 90s, low of 70s. We're going to see some gusts in the 20-mile-per-hour mark here and there with pretty consistent winds in the 15 to 17 mark. Friday is kind of the question mark here. It's saying 86, thunderstorms, 18 to 25 mile per hour gusts. Pretty brutal day out there. Then it's going to cool off quite a bit. We're going to get down to 67 degrees with a low of 49 on Saturday. But the wind's really going to taper off on Saturday. And then Sunday, nice and sunny, 73-degree day. A little bit of wind, but nothing too crazy. So whoever can get through Thursday and Friday, I think will set themselves up for a better play on Saturday and Sunday.
Did you say storms Friday? Is that what's bringing the cool down?
Yep, storms.
Yeah, man, that's a ridiculous fall off in temperatures. It's going to be interesting, but I'll tell you what, if those winds do lay down Saturday and Sunday, it's going to give these guys a much better chance to fire and take on some of these pins. So we could be in for a fun weekend with a lot of scoring if that forecast holds. All right, gentlemen, well, we have beat around the bush long enough. It is major championship week. We are here breaking down the 104th PGA Championship at Southern Hills and the Right Click Print Money podcast. But now it is finally time to make some selections. Let's get out there, make the picks for the people, try and make a little paper for the masses. I don't see your picks on the spreadsheet, Salocal, so we're going to have to wing it a bit. You got anybody shorter than 22 to 1?
Oh, you bet your sweet ass I do.
That's right. I forgot your strategy this week. So why don't you lead us off? You've got the floor here for the first few picks.
All right. So I went with a little bit of different strategy this week. This is kind of due a little bit to the fact that leading up to the Masters, you know, talking with people, who do you think's gonna win? Who do you think's gonna win? I said, it's going to be Cam Smith or Scottie Scheffler. It's going to be Cam Smith or Scottie Scheffler. There's nobody else. Like, these two guys are going to win. And then I didn't just bet Cam Smith and Scottie Scheffler. Like, I had the hunch was going to happen. And unfortunately, one of those two players won. And the other one and finished.
Both were in contention.
Both were in contention. And I don't know if it was Cam finished third or T2 with Rory. But it would have just had one and two right there and left the card at that. Would have been fine. But instead, I got a little cute. This week, I like four guys, and I'm going to go with those four guys, and that's it. So leading it off, I took in a little bit of an odds booth, and I got same guy that won the Masters, his favorite course, incredible heater this year, broke down the door early in the season, and the floodgates have opened. Mr. Scottie Scheffler
says that this is his favorite course of all that he's played, which is scary to think considering what he's done the last 3 months here. Shot a 64 in a practice round last week.
Yep.
Not a bad bet.
And excellent ball striker. Good around the greens. Great putter. Just all around. Baller right now. There is not a weak part to his game at the moment.
It really isn't. All right, you got another golfer just behind Scotty.
Yes, and I'm actually taking him in the betting and in the old one and done contest. And that is going to be JT. Are we going to talk about ball strikers this week? Yeah, we're going to talk about ball strikers this week, right? So JT's got to be in that conversation. He is honestly one of the best ball strikers in the world. He is good around the greens. His putting has, you know, come into form, and he can go low. He can go super low. So if this course is gettable on a day, I don't doubt that JT is going to have that motivation to go out there and get it. His best friend by all accounts on tour, Jordan Spieth, has more majors, more success. They stayed in the house last week, you know, and together. Spieth beat him last week in terms of this tournament. JT's got a little bit to prove. Has he won since the Players?
I don't believe so.
So he's got that extra bit of motivation. So new putter prototype, JT, 14-1, book it.
All right. Well, we're going to let you stay on for one more. I've also got a 22, but you keep the momentum and then I'll jump in.
This guy, is there a 250-yard three wood that this man does not like? Because I don't think so. Sorry if I'm rambling. We're down. We're up at 10.5 Michelob Ultras now, guys. Hideki Matsuyama, 22-1. Let's ride.
I love it. I'm gonna have a lot to say on Hideki here in a moment, but I was.
I figured you would. That's why I wanted to leave all the stats for you.
well, fortunately, I've got him at a much better number, so he's a ways down my card. So I'm going to have to come back to Hideki.
Sounds good.
But I will jump in. Let me take the mic here for my first selection. I'm going 2 points win only on Patrick Cantlay, 22-1. Last bet of the day to complete the card, an elite talent who's really just searching for that elusive first major now. He is a 7-time winner on the PGA Tour, FedEx Cup champion, player of the year. It's been a bit of a stretch here for him. He's played pretty well of late. Winner at Memorial. We know that Jack modeled the Bentgrass greens after Augusta, and Perry Maxwell's influence obviously all over Augusta and the undulation there. Typically, experience is a boon for majors. Cantlay has two top tens in majors, and conveniently, they've come at the PGA, where he was T3 in 2019, and also at Augusta, T9 again in 2019. Comes in fine form, too. He's a winner last time out at the team event at the Zurich. Probably can agree that was more him than it was Xander, at least that week. And then prior to that, he was second at the RBC Heritage. So he's a guy who's due on the big stage, really good scrambling, really good around the green, really good off the tee. Only thing that's struggled a little bit for Cantlay this year has been the approaches, and it's really been the longer irons. His wedges have been fine. And so given that, you know, again, and what's required here, I'm a little worried about the approach play, but again, it's 67th on tour this season in strokes gained approach. It's not like he's just fallen off the face of the earth. So Patrick Cantlay for me, 1 point win only at 22-1. All right, T-Mac, you're the only one of the three of us on this golfer at 28-1. Sell us on your boy from Oklahoma State.
I mean, he took 3 weeks off. He's ready to roll right now. Coming back to Oklahoma, I know you guys are off of him, but he's one of the best approach golfers in the world. So he's been playing really good, 27th at the Masters, 33rd at Valspar, 9th at the Players, 2nd at Arnold Palmer, 4th at the Genesis. I just think Victor Hovland's going to come in well-rusted and have his game in order.
Doesn't hurt that he lives in Stillwater, played his college golf at Oklahoma State, obviously very familiar with this part of the country and the winds that he's going to have to contend with. I'm with Shallow Cal. I'm having a hard time getting past that game around the green, but I'm going to make a very similar case for Willie Z here in a moment. If you're one of the best approach players and long iron players on tour, let's just hit every damn green and not worry about chipping.
Like Happy Gilmore said, I should just try to hit it in every time on the first shot.
Exactly. all right, Shallow Cow, we're going to bounce back to you, let you close out the card at 25-1.
Yeah, my dude, Cam MFN Smith. You want to talk about let's just hit every green? This guy with some irons in his hand is a monster. If we can get those wedges working this week, he is going to be a force to be reckoned with. His driver can get a little wild at times.
To put it mildly.
What's that?
To put it mildly.
Put it mildly, yeah. Hey, man, I hit it 325 yards, but I hit it 325 yards, 150 yards off target. So, you know, hopefully all those trees that Gil Hans took down, will favor my boy Cam. And if he can have a really crisp, clean week off the tee, he can putt the ball well. He can play approach and around the greens. Damn fine player there with his wedges and all of that. I think this guy is live in any golf tournament that he enters. So 25-1, I love it. Cam Smith.
T-Mac, we'll stay right there with you because you're on the same golfer.
Yes, sir. I got him at 30-1. Just to reiterate what Cal was saying there, I mean, fifth greens in regulation, first in putting per hole, first in birdies per round. I mean, he does spray and pray off that tee box, but he's one of the best around the green, and I think this is going to be a course that's what's needed. And when he needs to come in big, he comes in big. Players Championship first, Masters Tournament, he was third. I think we're due for a good round. But, I mean, as you were saying, I mean, we can get a round out of Cam Smith where he's 74, and then the very next day he can shoot a 65. You just never know.
His short game, though, is really something special and something to behold. I thought hard about Cam Smith. I was really between Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, and Cam Smith for my one play at the top of the board. Very much intrigued by Spieth and Cam Smith for the same reason. They're just wizardry and magic around the greens. All right, T-Mac, we're going to actually stick with you here because you and I are both on the next golfer.
Yeah, Big Willie Z. It looks like you got some better odds on him than I did, but I got him at 35-1, two units bet, one unit each way. Like you were talking about, one of the best approach golfers in the world. So it's one of these guys that I think he can stick some really good greens, 11th in green in regulation. Why worry about, his bunkers or anything like that if he's going to be right on there? He struggles with his driving accuracy, but I have faith that he's just one of the best approach golfers in the world, and it's going to put him at the top. And he's shown that in big tournaments, he plays well. He comes to play. So I'm backing Big Willie Z here.
Yeah, I'm on him for a lot of the same reasons. I'm 1 point each way on Will Zalatoris, 40-1. Actually, for being technical, I boosted him to plus 3980. This was an anti-post bet from a couple days ago at just under that 40 number. And I'm selling the same thing. I'm worried about a short game, no doubt about it. That putter is really bad. Play around the green is not good. But I'm just counting on him sticking every single approach shot as the number one ranked golfer on tour in strokes gained approach this year. I think he's just going to attack. And again, even if he is a little wayward with that driver, as long as the angles aren't bad, the rough should not be a big burden for him. As you mentioned, T-Mac, a couple of second place finishes in the Masters, so I'm certainly not worried about his experience. He's got those chops for major championship golf despite his relative youth and never having won on tour. Look, I'm disappointed with Willie Z for last week. We were both on him, T-Mac, the Byron Nelson. I'm a big narrative guy. I like the feel-good story of winning on home turf, but it is a lot of pressure. And looks like that's part of what got to Willie Z last week. He's a Dallas kid. He played the course hundreds of times by his own admission. Tons of family and friends watching. And just didn't have his best stuff. Missed the cut, but I'm not deterred. At a course that places a premium on approach play and off the tee game, I will certainly take the number one golfer in strokes gained approach and 11th off the tee. Also a ball striker extraordinaire, which should be rewarded here. No qualms going back to the well with Willie Z, 40-1. Back to you, T-Mac, for a 45.
45, I'm going my boy Waco. I got him 45-1, two units bet each way. A couple of the reasons I'm betting him this week are what we were talking about in stats to consider. Strokes gained on the approach. He's looking pretty decent at 16th in the field. Strokes gained around the green. He is fourth. And strokes gained in windy condition. He's ninth. Waco knows how to hit him in the wind. So I'm feeling good about Joaquin. The last eight rounds that he played, six of them were below 70, except for his blow up on Sunday. He's just been playing really, really good golf. So I think he'll be near the top of the leaderboard.
That Chilean definitely knows how to play in a little bit of wind. All right. I am on Hideki Matsuyama as well with Shallow Cal, but as mentioned, I got a big old fat number on Hideki on Sunday. I'm 1 point each way at 48-1. This is just a crazy number on Matsuyama to grab after he finished his Sunday round at the Byron Nelson. I was literally just sitting there on the couch scrolling through a few different sports books, seeing how numbers had changed for the PGA going into next week as the final players were finishing that last couple holes at TPC Craig Ranch. And I truly could not believe after Hideki's Sunday performance that 40-1 was still hanging out there. So I immediately grabbed it. Noticed I had a second 25% boost on one of the books. So I got it up to 48-1. Just way too good to pass up. But even at much shorter numbers, I would have been on Hideki this week. Big question with him this spring has been injury. Looked plenty healthy in Texas. He's sixth on tour this season in strokes gained approach. Actually led the field last week at the Byron Nelson in approach play. Tied for 22nd in scrambling. And he's fine at 54th this season around the green and 57th off the tee. Excuse me. We know all about his history at Augusta. A player in general who performs best on tough courses. Love that number on Hideki. All right, T-Mac. Two bets for you on the same golfer, 60 and 66 to 1.
Yeah, so apparently I had a futures bet on Homa at 60 to 1, so I got him each way there, one unit each way, two units total, but the each way is the five places on the future bet. And then I also have him at 66 to 1, two units, and that is each way to seventh place at the 66. I mean, I just love my boy Max Homa. He's been just playing some solid golf. First at Wells Fargo, 48th at the Masters, big tournament. He played decent, but he, you know, could have been better. Players Championship 13th, Arnold Palmer 17th, Genesis 10th. I just think Homa's been having a really, really good year, and I think he'll be looking to score this week.
Shallow Cal, you got any FOMO here in these names?
I just want to know, how many times in the last 30 years do you think Tiger Woods has carried his golf bag for a full 18 holes?
Did he do that at Southern Hills?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying. I mean, I just, you know, random thoughts for a guy who's trying to crush 15 Michelob Ultras in an hour, you know?
I mean, you got to think that when he's playing a casual round with Charlie, he's got to be toting his own bag, right?
They're driving the cart. Come on.
Yeah, they're
right now, certainly. But before the accident, come on. You got to believe father, son walk a few rounds of golf together.
Yeah. I could see that, definitely. FOMO. I got two FOMO this week. I got Max Homa FOMO for sure. This dude just plays well on tough golf courses and in tough tournaments. And what's any different here, you know? Good striker of the ball. If he gets his putter rolling, he can beat anybody out there. And then the other one is Jordan Spieth, who I said I'll probably be making a bet on later this week. But this guy, Jordan Spieth, around the greens and his approach play. And I mean, right now his off the tee game is just incredible. I've never seen him play so well off the tee. You know, if he was putting like 2015, 2016 Jordan Spieth, he would have won last week. So if he can get that putter rolling with the way that the rest of his game is right now, I wouldn't bet against him this week at all.
I can't believe you're not betting on him with your boy with a chance to go for the career Grand Slam.
I said I would be making a bet
on him. I was shocked too, honestly, Gallo. I thought that would be all you'd be talking about.
I mean, yeah. Why don't we just throw it on the card at the whatever 16, 18 to 1 it is right now? Because it's going to get bet. So
might as well.
Yeah. Throw it on the card.
All right, two for me to wrap us up before we get into T-Max lottery tickets. I'm 1 point each way on Daniel Berger, 66 to 1.
Boo! Actually,
Berger boy.
Boo!
Actually, the first bet I made Monday after my anti-postcard, once the full places were released.
Did you wake up drunk?
I mean, honestly, it was a number play for me, to be perfectly honest. I ran some early models. You know, I had Daniel Berger on the periphery. He's a golfer, certainly, who plays tough courses well, so I was interested there. I just couldn't believe I woke up and saw 66 to 1 on Daniel Berger in a major championship, particularly with some of the players shorter than him. Let me read you this list. Tony Finau was shorter. Corey Connors was shorter. Iron Striker, but what has Corey Connors won other than a Monday qualified Texas Open?
Why you gotta be dogging Corey Connors like that, man?
I mean, that Canadian's my boy, but he's got to start winning something again. Brooks Koepka, who's played one time since the WGC and match play in March, and it was a missed cut at Augusta, was
runner-up last year and two-time back-to-back champion here.
He is.
Major champion Brooks Koepka.
How'd major champion Brooks Koepka fare at Augusta?
Hey, put some respect, on that name, Ty.
Matt Fitzpatrick was 35-1. I mean, come on, like that. You just give me all the value on Berger, 66-1. Seventh in strokes gained total and tee to green. He's sixth in scrambling percentage. Ninth on tour this season in strokes gained approach. Ranked 11th in my model this week over the last 24 rounds. The major thing holding him back in those numbers is driving distance. But as mentioned, you know, I don't think it's a prerequisite here. I think it helps, but I don't think it's going to completely kill you if you're in good position with that second shot.
You left out one important stat.
What's that?
Strokes gained rules Nazi, number one.
Well, he definitely better not get paired with Patrick Reed in round one.
DQ, fighting on the course.
Oh, man. All right, last play for me, short of the triple digits. I am significantly overinvested in this player from all my anti-post bets. I am on Sam Burns, 1 point each way, 66-1. 1 point win only 80-1, and 1 point win only 90-1. I just kept finding better numbers last fall when he was in the midst of winning the Sanderson Farms, which, by the way, not a terrible comp course either for Southern Hills with its wide open nature. But I grabbed that 66 on Bermuda Burns with the each way on Sunday at Sanderson Farms. Found him 80-1 and 90-1 outrights later that week after winning at Sanderson Farms. I just couldn't pass up those numbers. Much like with Willie Z, I'm disappointed in missing the cut last week, but I really don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I'm aware of the stat that's circulating on Twitter. The last 15 winners of the PGA Championship made the cut in their last start prior. I'm aware. I'm still with Willie Z and Sam Burns. Listen, get up to Tulsa a little bit early, ease into the chaos of a major week. A nice reset for both these guys, I think. Certainly a place that Burns is familiar with, having grown up in Shreveport, Louisiana, and a game that should suit his game. A course that should suit his game as well. 15th in strokes gained approach. He's a prolific ball striker, ranks 8th on tour this season. Little surprised to see he's just 74th in strokes gained off the tee, but it's that accuracy that's hurting him. Only 99th on tour, but he is 34th for distance. So over index with a total of 4 units on Sam Burns from 66-1 to 90-1. All right, final segment of the show, T-Max lottery tickets. Long shots only when you're looking for the big payday, 100-1 or longer. I'm going to stick with it, T-Max. I've only got one shot in this range right off the bat, and then I'll turn it over to you for your 3 plays.
Alrighty.
I'm going Cam Young, 1 point each way at 100-1. I grabbed this number. I'll call it an anti-post. It was late Sunday evening, maybe early Monday morning even. I can't remember if the clock had changed over. But I saw the 100-1 out there, and I just had a feeling that when the places expanded from 5 to 7 with full championship odds that he was going to drop. So I grabbed the 100. Again, certainly a punt in this range, probably looking more for the place, and I've only got him to 5 places on that number, but at a quarter payout. Can the young fella do it? He doesn't have the major experience, but he's coming in on a heater. He was T2 last start at the Wells Fargo, T3 before that. Also got a T2 at the Genesis back in February, a tough golf course with Augusta-like comps. And he was also runner-up to Sam Burns and Jackson at the Sanderson Farms. So a lot to like, both about how he's trending right now, also a little bit of comp course history. Prolific driver of the golf ball who should be right at home in Tulsa, second in strokes gained off the tee. Let me take one more ticket on the Cam Young roller coaster. All right, T-Mac, close us out.
Yeah, so I just went with 3 guys here. A couple fan favorites, but a couple guys that have also been playing pretty well, except for maybe one. But 125-1, 2 units bet each way to 7 places. On Alexander Noren, I don't know if it's actually Alexander. I think it's just Alex Noren. But he's been playing really, really well. If you look at his last few tournaments, I mean, 12th at Byron Nelson, 42nd at RBC, 12th at the Valspar, 5th at the Honda Classic, 6th at the Waste Management. I mean, he's just been playing really, really good, consistent golf. So this could be one that he just sneaks up on us. I like the number there at 125-1 on Alex Noren.
So real quick, also, strokes gained total last 24 rounds in this field. He's 16th, and strokes gained putting on bent grass his last 50, he is first. So I love that bet, T-Mac.
Yeah, I'm liking Alex this week. He's just playing really, really solid golf. Then I just kind of went with one that I thought would be great to see him at the top of the leaderboard again here. Kevin
Nah.
You know, he's got some playing to do. He hasn't been I don't think he's played since April. So we haven't really seen him in May. Yeah, he's taken some time off. Not really sure why, but 14th at the Masters. So he does know how to play in big tournaments. So I really like the number more than anything at 200-1, two units bet each way. And then, again, just another guy who's been really doing well at the top of the leaderboard but hasn't really won one here yet is my boy Lahiri, 250-1. He plays 6th at the Wells Fargo, 15th at the Mexico Open, 13th at the Valero, 2nd at the Players Championship. I'm thinking that Lahiri has a good shot to at least place here. So let's see what these guys have got.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I like the Nah bet too, because he doesn't have Grayson Murray to punk him out on the range and make him all nervous and miss the cut or whatever happened there. But, you know, we'll see with Kevin Nah.
We may not see too much more, Kevin, on the PGA Tour if these lines really get drawn in the sand, because he's one that strikes me that's just going to jump over that line. You don't give a shit.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, well, we'll enjoy him while we can. All right, a reminder, you can see all of our picks for the 104th PGA Championship at Southern Hills by following at Right Click Picks on Twitter. Fellas, each and every week the goal is making paper. Time to get out there and right-click print money for the masses one more time. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Next week is Mito week. Not this week. Next week.